No, there's just so many things to say in these two simple readings. Do y'all have 20 minutes? Can we take 20 minutes for the homily? Just, you know, it's a Thursday. There's so many challenges to our faith today, which are answered a little bit in all of the scriptures today and in the liturgy in general after Easter, how we go, like I said, like the readings usually take us through after the resurrection of Jesus. You go into like the church receiving that gift through baptism, and now with the Eucharist. So, I don't know, we'll see how far we get, because I'm going to run out of time. But you hear things, and we talked about it recently, even this past Sunday, like, does God want you just by yourself to find salvation by yourself? Does God want you to just have, like, some of our Protestant brothers and sisters kind of insist, like, you just need the Bible and yourself, and that's it? Do you need the church? Do you need a pope? Do you need the successors of the apostles? Do you need the Eucharist? Or is the Eucharist even really something other than just a symbolic reminder of what Jesus did? Or is it more than that? Was Jesus being symbolic in his verbiage today? Or was he being literal? Or how's that work? Are we cannibals? Because the Christians, early Christians, were confused of cannibalism because they ate the flesh and the body of Jesus Christ. They drank his blood. What does that mean, and how does it happen? So anyway, we'll see how far we get. Notice the Ethiopian. I love this. This is my favorite story, one of my favorite stories from the Acts of the Apostles, because the Acts of the Apostles is all about the church. And so here's this Ethiopian, apparently Jewish, eunuch, because he's leaving Ethiopia, coming to Jerusalem for his worship as a Jew, and then going back to Ethiopia, and he's a high-ranking official, and he's reading the scriptures, because he's a faithful Jew. Could God explain them to him directly? Does he understand what he's reading, first of all? No, he doesn't. Could God explain it to him directly? Sure, he could, if he wanted to. But instead, God sends the church to this Ethiopian Jew. God sends Philip. The Holy Spirit moves Philip to leave the group, the work he was doing in Samaria, the good work he was doing in Samaria that we read about yesterday, and he sends him to this guy, this poor Ethiopian. How can I understand the scriptures unless someone instructs me? That's the answer to anybody who says, why do I need the church? Because the eunuch in the Acts of the Apostles, the scriptures themselves bear witness to our need for the church. Our need for this instrument of salvation, this teacher and point of reference when we're not sure about our faith. And then, as you go on, it absolutely affirms, obviously, the validity of the scriptures, the importance of scriptures in our modern day and age. It's like, well, I can just invent my way to God and salvation on my own. I don't need the Bible. I don't trust the Bible. I think the Bible is wrong. Well, the Acts of the Apostles, it shows us, like, our Lord affirms the Bible. You don't see Philip say, oh, you don't need the scriptures. Those are kind of old-fashioned. We've moved beyond them. No, he takes them. But he also understands the Jewish scriptures, as complete as they may seem in themselves, even though they always point to someone else still to come, a Messiah still to come. And then Philip explains, no, these Old Testament passages, look, this one referring to Isaiah's, the lamb led to the slaughter, the victim, the suffering servant. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, because it refers to him perfectly. The Old Testament has Jesus hidden in it, pointing to Jesus. Let me tell you how Jesus fulfills, the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. The suffering servant, and then actually, for what it's worth, in the Gospel, I won't go there too deep, but like John 6 references a couple of things. The prophets say, you shall all be taught by God. Even Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and then explains it more fully in himself and what is happening through the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit teaches us the things and mysteries of God. And then Jesus refers to the manna of the Old Testament, referring to his body and blood. He is the bread from heaven, which we are to eat. So the church, the scriptures, and then what I love about this is that they finish their RCIA, Philip and the Ethiopian. They finish the explanation of the faith. And is that it? Okay, bye, Ethiopian, have a great day. The Ethiopian sees water. And we don't know what they talked about other than the suffering servant, but apparently they talked about baptism is important, because the first thing we hear the Ethiopian say is, look, there's some water. Can I be baptized? Because apparently baptism is necessary for Christ's salvation. That's the one thing he took away from that conversation. So he's baptized, and then he goes his way, and Philip is led the other direction. I just feel like there's so much here in this one little passage that we believe as Christians, and especially as Catholics. Even thinking about Philip to the Ethiopian, like you have an RCIA, a content of faith, which talks about The creed, like what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about our way of life, I would say kind of morality, insofar as the Ethiopian is going to change and live a new life. So there's a newness for the Ethiopian. It's not just the same old, but there's a way of life that's different, which is part two of our catechism. Then the sacraments, because like I said, baptism seems to have been important. And then we get a kind of comment like the Ethiopian probably prayed a little differently after their conversation. So the whole catechism is kind of touched upon in this one little passage of the Acts of the Apostles. Are y'all tired yet? Sorry. Okay. Well, I was going to read to you St. Irenaeus, because he actually takes what Jesus says and gives a little passage for the priests in these days after Easter to explain how he's explaining how the Eucharist affects not just your spirit, but your body. But he's explaining that, presuming you already know that the bread and wine is really the flesh of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, even from 130 AD, 150 AD, the church was convinced that when Jesus said, "The bread that I will give from heaven is my flesh, my body and blood for the life of the world," that he meant it literally, not symbolically. And the early church received that, taught that, passed it on. And in 2024, we still believe it, teach it, receive it, and our little second graders are going to receive it this weekend for their first Holy Communion, and we pass it on faithfully. We ask the Holy Spirit to continue to help us deepen in our own faith, our own understanding of our faith, and our own conviction, like Philip, not to keep it to ourselves, but to listen when the Holy Spirit moves us to bring it to the stranger on the road, the brother or sister in my household, or the co-worker or student, wherever I am. We are always witnesses of the truth. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.